We're going to continue going through this gospel. What am I doing here? I think I know what I'm doing. Okay. Our message title today, we're just going to kick into it for time's sake. Denise, you would have been so proud of me last Sunday. I ended on time. And you weren't here. And you're thinking I came on the wrong Sunday. I'm going to do my best for everybody here. I know it's long weekend and people have plans. But let's just quiet for a second. There's a wonderful message here in the book of John. I've titled our message here today, Behold the Lamb. I love these words that John introduces to us. So we're going to try and look at everything, but we're going to look at verses 29 to 42 today. And this is one of the most powerful turning point passages in all of Scripture. Now, you may not think that, but it really is. It's a powerful, powerful turning point. I call it a turning point passage in this portion of Scripture, because it's the moment where John the Baptist points away from himself, right? Everybody was coming to him. He was the thing. He came baptizing with a water baptism, right? He was to lead the way and tell the people there's a Messiah coming, but he has a different baptism than mine. Repent, right? That was John's message. Come and repent. Be refreshed. Be renewed. And so now this is the moment where John the Baptist now is pointing away from himself and the ministry that he was having, and he is now is wanting to point everyone to who? To Jesus, right? It's now the time to point everyone to Jesus. So it's a really, really exciting portion of Scripture. And the Apostle John is showing his readers of his gospel account that ultimately Jesus is not about religion. He's not about rules and regulations. He's not about rituals anymore. It's about seeing Jesus for who he truly is and learning and coming to abide in him. Amen? This is what John is leading to. And so that's what he wants to his readers to understand. So we're looking at, let me read verses 29 to 31 for you of chapter 1 of John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Right? So let's just listen to that. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming. He saw him coming towards him, it says. And John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now keep in mind, his Jewish readers, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, okay? "This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Did everybody get that? Right? John's playing on words here a little bit. "A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." What is John referring to? Remember in the first start of his gospel account, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? So John is saying, here comes Jesus, a man who's come after me, but he's actually surpassed me because he was before me, because he's God. He's just in the flesh in this moment now, right? And so that's verse 30, okay? And then John says this, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to all of Israel." It's a pretty sweet few verses, isn't it? John sees Jesus, and he cries out, "Behold." It has an exclamation mark in my Bible. Does it in yours? I don't know. But behold. I mean, can you imagine? He's seeing Jesus, the creator of the universe, in the flesh, coming towards him. And John recognizes it's time. It's time. I'm now to come to an end. Remember last week I read for you from Matthew where John says, "I must decrease and he must increase." I love that. My wife bought that bumper sticker on my guitar case. It's been on there for years because when I had to read it in Bible college, I just, the humility of John, it spoke to me. It spoke to me. It spoke to my pride I had in my life. And I was so humbled by John. "I must decrease." And so I remember my prayer was, "Jesus, It's not just I must decrease, but none of me and all of you was my prayer. And so John says, behold the Lamb of God who what? Who takes away the sin of the world. This is a huge moment because for centuries they had to go into Jerusalem to the temple once a year for the bloody sacrifice to cover their sin. Right? Not take it away necessarily, but to cover it, right? There's a difference. And John is now, he's proclaiming something. John the Baptist here, just to clarify the Johns, okay? Right? We have John Mark, we have the Apostle John, and John the Baptist. We're talking about John the Baptist, right? Okay? And he says, behold, take note, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now that would have perked up the ears of his listeners, especially the Jewish ones, because they had to go into the temple for that bloody sacrifice once a year, every year, and it had to be a pure, unblemished animal, lambs, right, for the sacrifice to cover their sins. Now, I want you to understand, this is explosive language, right? It's explosive language. Behold, right? Behold. The Jews would have immediately thought of the Passover lamb, right? They would have thought of that. They would have thought about the sacrificial system that I was just mentioning to you. They would have thought about the innocent sacrifice. And they would have thought about blood covering sin. And they also would have thought about Isaiah chapter 53. I read this at Good Friday. Who was here at the Good Friday service? You would have remembered this. But I just feel like I should read from Isaiah 53. I didn't do so well on Good Friday getting through it, but I think I'm okay today. So here's what it says. This is so... Recognize this was an important passage then. They would have thought of this, right? Who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Now, I skipped a few, just it's a long chapter, but you get the idea, right? So that's what that is exactly what his audience would have been thinking. So I want you to understand when John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that would have really perked up their ears. What do you mean? Here is the man who's coming. He's taking away the sin of the world for good. John is declaring the sacrifice has arrived. The final lamb is here. Amen. Amen. Do you know that thousands of lambs had died in Israel? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lambs had died in Israel. But none of them could remove sin. It could only cover sin. Right? It's the difference between counselors offering coping mechanisms to Jesus offering healing. I don't want to just cope from the problem. I want to be healed from it. Right? It's the same thing. No one of those lambs that they sacrificed over centuries could remove sin. It could only cover it. Then Jesus came. Oh, can you picture it just with me for a second? They have been waiting for this, the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, for centuries. And John, who they've been going to recognize him, he had some kind of ministry, he had some kind of anointing of God. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Not to cover sin temporarily, but to take sin away completely. Jesus is the final sacrificial lamb. He is the spotless lamb. He is the substitute lamb. He is the suffering lamb. He is the saving lamb. And ultimately, he is the victorious lamb. Amen? We have victory in Jesus. You know the songs, "Sweet Victory in Jesus," right? Those words are there because they mean something. We have sweet victory in Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking so many of us tried to hide our sin, right? We tried to hide it. Maybe we tried to excuse our sin or justify our sin. I even see people who compare their sin. Well, yours is worse than mine, right? No, I'm not kidding. And I'm sure we've done it in our own lives, right? Well, geez, Lord, at least I'm not as bad as that guy, right? We've compared sin. We've tried to work off our sin ourselves, right? The alliance form of penance. Right? What's your alliance form of penance where you try to work it off? Okay, Lord, I'll do good for this long to make up for that. So many of us have done that stuff, right? But only Jesus can remove it. Whatever he reveals, he always plans to heal. Right? Whatever he reveals, he always plans to heal. Do you notice I think this is a pattern, and I don't know if it's for everybody, but I think I found that God gives us, the Holy Spirit will give us a revelation of our flesh first, and then a revelation of his spirit. And I think he does this so we don't move into pride, right? Right, we have to see what the problem is, right? And I've done that in counseling where I've been so excited to offer the solution, but they didn't see the problem yet, so it backfired, right? It doesn't work that way. We have to see what the problem is first. Right? We have to recognize it. But what he reveals, he'll plan to heal. Right? I've noticed that. It's been consistent as I've met with people and even in my own life. Only Jesus can remove sin. Just imagine carrying a backpack for me, if you will. Think of those hikers' backpacks. You know, the ones that go way down here and above their heads? Right? So imagine carrying a backpack filled with a whole bunch of rocks. And everywhere you go, you fill it with every sin. Every regret, every failure, every shameful thing in your life, and you add another rock each time. And you keep adding those rocks. Most people that I found, just as I've been privileged to meet with people, most people spend their life exhausted under this kind of weight. Right? They go over every regret. They go over their failures. They go over these shameful things, all these sins that they have. But Jesus is saying, "Give it to me." How many here can bear the weight of it? Right? We're not designed for it, right? Right? We can't, because we get depressed, we get anxious, we get fearful and worried, right? Right? Because we're not designed to carry it. We can't carry the weight of all that. You can't carry the weight of your failures. You can't carry the weight of your regrets. You can't carry the weight of your repetitive sin even. You can't carry it. God has not designed you to, right? We always crumble, don't we? So what is God teaching us? I've never designed you to carry it. You can't carry it. Give it to me. Cast all your, what? Cares, your anxieties on me, because I care for you. Because you can't carry it anyway. At the cross, he carried what you and I never could carry. Amen? We couldn't do it. Is that clock fast? Let me get to the second point, okay? The Spirit remained on him. Can I just read verses 32 to 34? And then it'll be a more smoother part to break. Then John gave this. Yes, boys, you want to come? I know I'm almost done. Okay? Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. On who? On Jesus. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me, right? So John writes this twice now, right? John the Baptist, I myself did not know him. He was from before the world. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify to everyone here that this is God's chosen one. This is it. He's here now. I'm telling you, I'm declaring, I testify you to everyone here now. This is the Messiah. He's here, and the Holy Spirit has rested upon him. John now testified that he saw the Spirit descend like a dove and remain on Jesus. Not come on and come off. It says remained on him. Here, John is identifying Jesus as the Messiah. That's what Christ means, okay? Christ means Messiah, okay? So John is identifying Jesus as the Messiah. He is not just a human. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a special teacher. He is the Son of God. So Messiah, Son of God, and he's the anointed one that the Scriptures have foretold. John's entire ministry, can you imagine this? All of his ministry, his entire ministry was preparing people for this exact moment. And it was here. Can you imagine the excitement of John? He knew what he was doing, but he knew it wasn't about him, right? It was about the one who was to come, who was before him. John the Baptist understood something many modern people miss today. And I want everybody to hear this. The goal of ministry is not building ourselves up, but it is sacrificially serving others and pointing them back to Jesus and building him up to others. Amen? Right? The goal of ministry, right? John the Baptist shows us it wasn't about him. He said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. It is not about me. The goal of ministry is to point others back to him. Right? Amen? Chad is nothing. Jesus is everything. Can we all agree on that? I'm okay with it. James is laughing. Oh, man, build yourself up a little bit. Nope. Because I'll take that little bit and I'll grow with it. That's what the flesh wants. But we will deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow him. Amen? We're here to lift Jesus up. I was thinking of the chorus of the song. And I'll end there, sadly. We had a lot to do today, but it's past. I'm not quite 5 minutes past, though, just so you know. Freedom reigns in this place, right, is the first line of the chorus. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face, there is freedom. As we were singing that, I was thinking, I said to the Lord, I said, God, I hope when people come through these doors, I really pray they experience freedom here. Freedom from whatever's going on in their life and their hearts and their families. And I pray that when they come and sit or stand here, that showers of your mercy and grace fall on them, that they'll get grace here. Not judgment, you'll receive mercy and grace here. And I pray that it really does fall on every person. There is freedom in Jesus, right? It's to build him up. It's to point people back to him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So our job is really simple, just like John the Baptist. I'm here to point you back to him who lives within. Amen? Right? I think we would do well if people experience that freedom and mercy and grace here. Not the law and the judgment, right? It's grace that had its time, right? We read that before. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay. Whew. What a message, huh? Man, the Apostle John, so much good truth. Okay, we got it? Capiche? Can I pray for you? I heard it's a good pastoral thing to do. Somebody told me that. And so I'd like to pray for you, and I pray you have a wonderful, I pray your long weekend is refreshing. I pray, there's been a lot of heavies lately, hasn't there? In our community, Macklin community, I mean, Matisco going, I mean, there's just been a lot of heavies. So I'm just going to, let's pray. Jesus, we behold you today. I don't know, there's something about that word, Jesus, behold. Lord, I really hope each one of us behold you today. We recognize the Lamb. We see what you've done. We know that without you, we don't have freedom. We know that in you, we have freedom from all things. As Jeremy said earlier, the truth sets us free. And you have set us free, so we are free indeed. So I pray all of us see that, all of us experience that. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Lord, this church, I pray, Lord, keep us on track, would you, Jesus? May we always be about lifting you up. That's our job. We'll keep lifting you up, and you keep drawing whoever you want. And Lord, I pray that you would keep maturing our hearts in you so that, Lord, people do experience grace here. They don't experience judgment. They experience love and grace and freedom in you, Jesus. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, that beholding name, in that name we pray. All of God's children said, amen. So you better be here to get the other 2 points, okay? I'm going to leave you hanging for this week, okay? Actually, we have dear brother Ross Plews coming next week because I will be at Nationals for Aiden. And potluck. Please come. Oh, I know the fun's missing because I won't be there, but I'm sure you guys can have fun without me. Okay, so potluck next Sunday. Bring a dish, okay? And brother Ross is going to come and do the message for us, okay? Blessings. We'll see you guys next week. Oh, yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Yeah.